Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I am RB, sitting across from KD. And usually when KD was out, we weren't RBKD. We were only RBK.
Oh, but, really? But we can't.
Yeah, but now we're RBKD.
Yeah.
Without
it's still
BK,
the same thing.
We're still the same thing.
It's RBKD.
Still works really well. We miss BK.
Yeah.
We can still say we're RBKD.
That's the beautiful thing about that word.
It's a beautiful thing.
The title.
Sam Pica, though, is picking up the slack, twisting and tweaking the dials back there behind the glass. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I am at Rod Baberson, the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01 off of a vacation. Well-rested, too. You look well-rested, and you look tan.
I got a little bit of sun.
You've been in the sun a little bit.
I got a little bit of sun.
Yeah, I'm looking at you now. Yeah. Okay. Did you get a haircut?
I got a haircut.
You got a haircut.
Uh-huh.
As a man, we don't look at other men
the way we
should in detail.
We don't.
I've literally just actually gave you the actual once over and analyzing and examining.
Yeah.
And I just now noticed. Haircut, a little bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You look refreshed.
A little bit of a glow.
Got a little glow.
Looks like I got laid.
Yeah. I hope that happened too.
It was a good week.
Because men, our vacations are based on getting some action. If men don't get any action on their vacation, it wasn't a good vacation. You can go to Hawaii, and if the guy didn't get lucky, you'd be like, how was Hawaii?
Yeah. It was
all right, man. He's overrated.
How was the weather?
Yeah.
It was sunny.
But a guy could go to Albuquerque, New Mexico,
right.
Or go to El Paso and get lucky, be like, dude, El Paso is very underrated, bro. I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of culture there. It's like, really? Yeah, man. Her name is Michelle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what was the culture like? I didn't see much of the town.
I didn't see much of the town.
Got a good hotel for you.
Sam Pica does not have a Twitter account, but he does have the gram, right? At Pica.chu.
There you go. I'm surprised you remembered that.
Oh, I always remember, man. My man, Sam Pica.
What do you do on the gram?
Yeah, what do you do?
Mostly just stalk hot chicks. That's about all there is to do on Instagram, really.
Okay.
Good for you, Sam. Good for you.
Do you ever engage and let them know that you're interested?
No, I got a lady, so it's like I mostly just creep. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
You can look at the menu.
That's respectful.
You can look at the menu.
I can't believe he just did. That's very respectful of you.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to say that. You know, I got a lady, so
just creep.
Look. Just creep. Hey, man, I don't even go on
Instagram. Well, she found quite a gentleman. She should feel lucky.
He's cyber stalking, which is the nicest kind of stalking.
Yeah, we all do that.
Well, I don't do it as much. I don't, because I don't want my girlfriend to see me on Instagram.
I don't.
She knows I don't like Instagram, so if I'm on there, she knows, like,
I don't
what are you doing on Instagram? You ain't on there, but
I don't
you're looking
at
some
schedule,
TNA.
But if I'm watching TV and a hot chick comes up and they put her Twitter on
it's
there.
It's all that comes up on Instagram.
I go to media and see if we got any bikini pics. I'm not spending much time. If I'm going down and realizing, oh God,
yeah,
then I'll give it a minute.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. You know, I mean, it's just thoughts and Instagram models and the angles of the butt shots and the.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, what more do you need, bro?
Right.
Well,
there's
adult websites for that kind of stuff. What do you guys need?
See, I'm not going that far though.
Oh,
I'm not,
that's true. You want to get a buzz? You
exactly.
You get
exactly.
Wasted.
I'm not looking for the end game, bro. I'm not
exactly.
End game in here.
I want to get a buzz. I'm not trying to get wasted, dude. It's Tuesday night.
Or I may be planting a seed for that later. But right now, I've got stuff to do. We're not doing that.
Okay, okay,
I'm not
going to
defile myself at 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
Then you're worthless for the rest of the day.
Later on, I may.
I can be at work and be scrolling through Instagram, see some hot chicks. But if I'm at work looking at porno, bro, that's a different story.
It's very true.
Then I don't have a job no more.
This is a valid point.
Boy, that
I've never given it that much thought, but that is true.
That is an addiction if you're watching porn at work.
You can say it was for research for your job because. Do sports radio.
It's might a story.
Been, might have been a story going on that you need to look up. This happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. In all seriousness, that sounded like a lie right
it
away.
My woman would be like, oh, what are you about to lie about?
It wasn't
what,
my
next
fault.
The coming out is a lie. So go ahead.
No, but.
What is it?
Seriously, there have been a couple times where I've had to, just because of a story we had, because how crazy sports is now. Where you'll get online and it looks like you're looking at porn.
That's just true. No, I agree.
Whatever the website is.
No, I agree. Yeah. No, though that's how salacious the stories are these days.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
That's not a crazy story. Sometimes like there's a sex scandal or something
right.
like that. And yeah, no, I got you.
Or just a word that I don't know, especially now. Like with
Urban Dictionary words?
Something like that.
I swear I meant to type in dictionary. I don't know how I got there.
Whoa. No. Didn't mean to get there.
Some of those Urban Dictionary terms will get you in trouble. Okay, let's get to breaking bad news before we get to NBA news.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like it.
I like this.
The Breaking Bad news sounder.
It's our new sounder. BK, I like it.
Yeah, BK came up with. I told him we need a sounder for when bad news happens because all the news these days is just bad. There's no good news. We need to differentiate between the good and the bad. And my man BK, the genius that he is, came with the Breaking Bad news sounder. All right, here's the bad news. The St. Louis Cardinals have 13 people in the organization who have tested positive for COVID-19. 7 of them are Cardinals players. They haven't really told us what the rest of the COVID-19 tests are. If they're with the front office or if they're with the coaching staff. We really don't know any details about that yet. Here's the interesting article, and this is something I found from the New York Post, but it says Major League Baseball Network confirmed a tweet from a former big leaguer, Jerry Hairston Jr.
Jerry. With Jerry? Oh, yeah. Okay. Played with my Cubs, would have played with the Rangers.
Okay. So he's got some cred.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he was a kind of a utility outfielder, but was a guy who played long enough. I want to say his dad played, too. So, I mean, he's known in baseball world.
He's in the know.
Yes.
He would know some stuff.
He gets free health care for life. He at least got 60 days.
Isn't that amazing? God bless him. Free health care for life. People don't understand that.
They're running the show,
and
man.
They just play for 60 days or something like that on the roster.
Days.
And then healthcare for life. Football players.
So Greg Swindell, you just got in there with your 17 years.
I played almost 6 years in the league, and I got healthcare after that for 6 years. That was it.
Yeah.
And what you get for how many years you're vested in is how many years you get of post-NFL healthcare.
And when I think of all three sports, I would think the one that – now, it's also why they're – bargaining with it because they know that it would cost more than
a lot of money.
Maybe getting Tommy John or a knee replacement.
They know
at 60.
Rod B's body gonna start breaking down pretty soon.
Yes.
And they're like, he's right out of our window. We did damn good. That's why those Pac-12 players are asking for health insurance
in the
6 years. But here's what Jerry Hairston Jr. is claiming. He's saying a couple of Cardinals players went to a casino recently.
To get wings?
Well done, sir. Well done. Lou Will would be proud. Lou Will Lemon Pepper Barbecue Wings. They sound good, though.
They did,
You
yeah.
know they sound good.
No, they did.
Oh, that was amazing. Okay, anyway, the Post Joel Sherman confirmed St. Louis had those 13 positive tests, but Jerry Hairston Jr. is claiming that they went to a casino recently. He says, this is the John Heyman tweet, at least a couple of Cardinals did go to a casino. First suggested by Jerry Hairston Jr., Major League Baseball has since tightened its rules on leaving the team hotel from very strongly discouraged to not allowed. Cards COVID count going into today, and he goes into what the COVID count is now, which I think is, like I said, 13 players.
I'm
sorry, 13 people on the Cardinals, 7 players.
Baseball may be done by December because, I mean, to have – they're going to have to get all these games in with 60 games if they want to finish this thing. And we've already seen with the Marlins and some of the games canceled, and they've canceled St. Louis and Detroit, the 4-game series. So this is the Cubs, actually, funny enough, St. Louis is the model organization in terms of winning, and the Cubs would not be over 100 years. But the Cubs have been the model organization. They've had 0 positive tests. They've apparently really clamped down and taken it seriously. If you remember when we first talked about this, Rod, I said the NBA is a much better chance, not that it's brilliant, to make this thing happen because of the bubble situation.
Yeah, no question.
And baseball players look – I mean, it does kind of get back to the free healthcare to some degree. They got a lot of power, and they probably should have gone that direction. They didn't want to go that direction, and now we'll see if they can have a season.
So there's stories about the Phillies players going to bars.
Yeah.
Right? That's been out there. Now we saw the Cards, also a team having a breakout. The Cards players, may have gone to a casino.
Baseball's gotten a lot younger, not as much as basketball, but...
Could be.
There are a lot more 23, 24, 25-year-olds, and they are going to go to bars during this. We know that.
And I would say, and I don't know what segment of baseball, football, or basketball have players that believe this, but there are certain people in our country, God bless them, who do not believe that this thing is being overblown, that this thing is being blown out of proportion, and it's ridiculous, and we should not, you know, I mean, there are people that believe that. I don't know what percentage. I'm not going
into varying degrees and different points, they may be right.
I don't know.
If you go all the way to the edge of hoax, that's the opposite edge of people that are still looking at projections at 2.5 million Americans dying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, we got to be able to meet in a rational middle.
Trust me, I don't even want to go there because we don't have time to have the discussion.
No.
But my point is, I wonder how many people in baseball believe, oh, it's overblown. This is not a big deal. I'm doing my thing. I'm living my life. And all respect to those who want to do that. But I do think that the NBA has put in protocols and infrastructure in place, of course, with the bubble, which we know works, right? Major League Baseball, they don't want to do the bubble. They want to let players have the freedom
to go.
And the
players don't want to do the bubble.
And the players don't want to do the bubble. But we've seen Major League Soccer, the bubble works. NBA, the bubble works. They haven't had a positive test in the bubble in, what, going on 4 weeks now, going on a month. Even with NHL. The NHL is having a lot of success within the bubble. So they want to do their thing, and that's fine. But then you have to put parameters in place, real consequences for those who are not following the rules. And the truth is, we've all even watched Major League Baseball games. The players don't follow those rules. They don't give a damn about those rules. And he hadn't punished anybody for not following the COVID guidelines, and yet, you know, he's punished a player for instigating an argument with the Astros, right?
Yeah.
Joe Kelly, he got punished. He's the only player that's been punished. But it's like, well, there have been several players who have obviously brazenly decided to just decide they're going to be, irresponsible and do their own thing, and they're not going to go by and follow the guidelines. Maybe they should be punished too. We're not getting any of that. And now he's doubling down and saying Rob Manfred is. Well, it's the player's fault. Players need to be more responsible. Players got to do it. No, you need to enforce the rules.
Yeah, Rob Manfred needs to go in yesterday.
And I know.
And I'm not one of those people that's always trying to get every commissioner out. I mean, there's some that I think are kind of DBs and maybe average at what they do, mediocre, but still it's like, well, the sport's in a good spot. This hopefully this pandemic and everything that's gone on through this will be the final call to get him out. The problem is he's a lackey, much like Goodell is, for the owners. And
he
so
is.
As long as he gets that done, then the betterment of the sport is not the priority. So look, they should have gone to a bubble, and they had that on the books, I think, before the NBA did.
It was discussed. Yeah.
Even talking about Florida.
Yep.
Remember, it was Florida, Texas, and we're going to try and at least contain this to some degree. Once these people are flying all over the place and they're pro athletes that have millions of dollars, and like I said, it's not all 35-year-olds with kids, that this was going to happen. And it's unfortunate the way it has. I don't how they deal with it. We'll see. I mean, because you can't go to a bubble now, Rod. You're right. The only answer would be okay to enforce the guidelines seriously.
You have to.
And what's going to happen then if you enforce that? Yeah, I'm sure you guys talked about it. But Joe Kelly, and there were even some players who were saying, so wait a minute. Joe Kelly gets the equivalent of 23 games in a normal schedule. Doesn't get kicked out. He didn't hit anyone. And look, I think he was throwing at him. So we can, I may even get into that a little bit, one and done, stuff that I missed. But you wouldn't suspend any of the Astros players. That will always be held on Manfred, the way he handled that. And it's kind of like
totally
the kid saying, wait a minute, you didn't punish my brother. Different crimes or different rule breaking. But that's where it's almost like he's got no power on that, and he doesn't want to wield it at all.
Yeah, it's very strange that he's always reliving his past sins over and over again.
Yes.
Man, for this. And he's got the blueprint, the textbook, if you will, blueprint for the owners in any type of dispute with the players. Blame the players, right? Blame the players for any issue that Major League Baseball refuses to address in their willful ignorance, whether it be steroids, whether it be the CBA negotiation for the restart to start the season during the COVID, right? Oh, that was the players' fault. Players, they weren't negotiating with good faith. Recently, the outbreaks on the teams, that's the players' fault. Well, it is, but you have some responsibility.
Yeah.
In what is hurting the sport overall. And the problem with Rob Manfred, and I've said it over and over again, he's always trying, because he's a politician, wants to look good in front of the people. He's always trying to win the argument and make sure he looks good. He is.
Yeah.
So he wants to win the argument instead of resolving the conflict.
Yep.
Figure out what the issue is. You're a commissioner. Solve the problem. Who gives a damn how you look? Solve the problem, and everything else will take care of itself.
So
he never addresses the issue.
Yeah, and treat it more like you're a realtor who's representing the buyer and the seller. where you have a fiduciary responsibility to pull yourself out of it a little bit and to really try and make a fair deal for both sides. And that's just not the case. It's not the case with Goodell either.
It's not, but he's better than Manfred. And that's
no doubt.
And that, right, that says a lot. Exactly. Okay, let's get to the NBA a little bit and talk some. We'll talk some of the Texas teams, and then we'll get some of the bigger storylines if we have some time. One and Done is coming up next. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but let's start with the Rockets.
Because I think, watched.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? They are the most inspiring story right now in the bubble. It's unbelievable.
It is, and it's fun because we talk about the same schemes and everyone does the same stuff. And with basketball, it has been this movement towards, now the Rockets are doing that, but this movement towards really, really taking more threes and spreading it out more, right?
Yeah.
But no one had gone that small. And I'm fascinated watching them. I mean, it kind of takes you to any level of basketball, whether you're watching a pickup game where someone is really undersized and you've got these two different philosophies that are going up against each other. The fact that they're out-rebounded the way they were, fact that they didn't shoot well, and the fact that, I mean, hell, even the way they played Giannis was, I'm not sure that they go that direction. There were some things that don't add up to them winning that game, and they still won.
To your point?
They are going. You know what I like about them, Rod? If you're going to go, what do we say? Go.
Go all the way.
If you've got if you're going to go with Lamar Jackson, go.
Yeah, if you're grasping at straws, grab that damn straw and wear it down to sand. Grind it to nothing. And that's what they've done, right? They've gone the exact extreme. To your point you just brought up, that you don't win games the way they've won their last two games, really, but especially one with the Bucks specifically. They won 120 to 116. The 61 three-point attempts, which tied an NBA record, and they weren't great. They were 30. They shot 34%. Something like they shot
21.
The lights out. I mean, they were okay.
No,
they didn't shoot
not
the lights out. But to your point, NBA teams in NBA history were 0-177 going into last night's game. If they allowed 110 points, at least 110 points, and they were out-rebounded by at least 25 rebounds and shooting under 40% from the field. Rockets did all those things. They are the first team to win in NBA history when allowing 110 points or more, being out-rebounded by 25-plus rebounds, and shooting under 40% from the field. You just don't win games the way they're winning games. It doesn't make basketball sense, but the Rockets don't make basketball sense. They have
Harden didn't even score that well, didn't play that well, in foul trouble.
He scored 24 points. That's not great. 3 of 12 from three-point range. And here's another great stat for you. So they were down 7 with 45 seconds left, and that's against the Mavs. And I think teams were 2-811 in situations where they were down by 7 with 45 seconds left. Came back to win that game. They were down 8 points with less than 3 minutes left and went on that 16-4 run against the Bucks. And they were, I think, Milwaukee was up with 16 and a half seconds left. They were up 1 point, ended up closing the gap and winning that game. That's with no Eric Gordon, who's supposed to be the third best scorer. The Rockets could be on to something just because this is an extreme situation. They're in an NBA bubble, for God's sake, during a pandemic. There's no home court advantage. Everything seems to be stressed to the extremes. I mean, and with them, it seems like their three-point extreme philosophy, right? They're extremists in every category. The isolation, they're extremists in terms of their isolation. They're extremists with the three-point shot, and they're extremists with their small ball philosophy. There's nobody more extreme in NBA history. And, yes, it blows up on them, but in this extreme environment, it may actually work. And it's crazy to say that. It may work because now you have the Russell Westbrook. Yeah, you got that factor.
So you're saying lack of road games and just the way those numbers work, and that's something that really hadn't changed that much with basketball. Championship teams will go win on the road, obviously.
No doubt.
But there are a lot of teams that have problems.
It's tough.
Either shooting on the road or whatever that is.
Man, and then you got a fresher Harden, right? Harden usually wears down during the season because
that to me is the biggest one.
Exactly, right? James Harden, I think he was leading the NBA in minutes per game before the restart, and D'Antoni plays short rotations, which gets shorter as the postseason starts. So you got a fresher Harden. You got Russell Westbrook now adding to the mix. You got two of the top 10 best players in the NBA on one team. anything could happen. I think we've seen, of course, with the Rockets versus the Bucks. Anything could happen.
And the run they had, I mean, they're down what, down eight, and then had that 9-point run where PJ had the three and a steal, Harden's block on the freak. They end up going up by one. That was fun back and forth, but I just like the different philosophies. I like that we're going to see if someone can outsize them or if they can get through it. And so far I've been proven wrong. I thought it was going to get to them at some point, and it still may.
But I look
at it now and I feel like there's more hope that, you know what, they could do that.
But now they can get themselves in a good position in terms of seeding where they won't be exposed until potentially, well, maybe they won't be exposed. Maybe the team that can't expose them will be knocked out.
Don't give yourself too many series where someone can't expose what your obvious weakness is.
How about the Spurs? I mean, I don't know how they're doing it because they got a ton of injuries. No LaMarcus Aldridge, no Patty Mills. Patty Mills came back.
Patty Mills is back.
He came back versus Memphis, actually. I take that back. He came back, but still no Trey Lyles, no Bryn Forbes. Marco Bellinelli is going to be out, actually, for their game tonight versus the 76ers. But they've gone with a small ball lineup. Jakob Poeltl is the center, but they got DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Lonnie Walker, and DeMar DeRozan. That's their, I almost say, four guard lineup or small ball lineup.
Rudy Gay will come off the bench.
Yeah, and it's worked for them, man. The Spurs right now, you can't ever count out the San Antonio Spurs because they'll find a way, and they did versus Memphis. They won 108-106.
No, you can't, and they've got some young guys that can really play that are interesting, and As long as they've got Pop there, I trust that scheme. And where are they at now? They're like, what, 29 and
yeah, and they are 9 seed in the West. Yeah, they're 9 seed now after beating Memphis. So they're 9 seed. So they're right there.
Yeah, they're right there.
And they'll have that play-in tournament thing for the playoffs this year.
I think they could be dangerous for someone, and they've kind of proved that. But, I mean, I don't see them going really far. But you start to see a little bit of a core maybe of what so a little bit of the pieces are trying to build for the future.
No, I thought they'd be outmatched. I didn't think they'd actually have a chance. And Pop said, I think before that game, he said, quote, when he was talking about, you know, the lineup and him going small with the one true big man, he said, there's no such thing as a point guard. There are no point guards, just perimeter players now. There's no such thing as one guy who's running the show. Pop, of course, ahead of the game as always.
Yeah.
And DeRozan said, man, it's crazy. We've got a lot of wild pit bulls out there running around. And on any given night, those guys can explode and do something amazing. The Spurs are hard to game plan for because they're so different than they were during the regular season. They're nothing like they were during the regular season. No LaMarcus Aldridge. Patty Mills comes back.
I know some Spurs fans that are happy with LaMarcus, too.
And you could.
Texas exes and Spurs fans that feel that way.
Could be. But that's why he looks so different.
Yeah.
There's no game plan or blueprint to stop the Spurs right now. I think that's why they're having some early success in the bubble.
How about the Spurs helping out the Mavs, too? And the Mavs need some help right now. You talk about blowing a lead. Did you see what happened to them yesterday?
Yeah, man.
Devin Booker goes for 30 and another double-digit deficit where Mavs end up giving it up. They lose 117-115. But by virtue of the Memphis loss to San Antonio, the Mavericks did clinch their first postseason berth since 2016. Doesn't feel like they're playing the type of ball they want to right now.
It's clutch time that's hurting the Mavs. They've lost 13 games where they led by at least 10 points. That's the most in the NBA. They've lost 11 games leading going into the fourth quarter. That's the second most in the NBA behind the Spurs with 12. And they're 2-10 in games decided by 3 points or fewer. That's the most, or at least the worst record in the NBA, the most losses in that situation. In clutch time, they can't figure it out. And strangely enough, Luka, who is obviously as good as anybody in the league, he's not been great in clutch time. The Mavs are 29th in the NBA in clutch offense, 93.9 points per 100 possession. That's the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter or overtime.
He'll figure that out, and obviously the team will change a little bit over the next couple of years, but if you're looking at Luka and Porzingis as your main guys, and especially Luka, who had 40, 11, and 8, but Rod's right, still crunch time, that's something that young stars, and I think will end up learning how to do. But it's frustrating right now, and they were actually, even after the game, they were just talking about some of the issues they have, and a lot of it does start, Rick Carlisle was saying, a lot of their problems start that third quarter.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, look, you got that break and you got to be able to get that thing going. So I think eventually they'll do that. We'll see if it's this year, though.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, one and done. I'm not going to do too much, you know, what I missed whenever I was gone. But there were a couple things.
Missed a lot.
I know, a couple things. There were a couple things that I thought, man, I wouldn't mind to be given a take on this, especially your Houston Astros.
Go Astros!
And what went on with one Joe Fight Club Kelly. I'll give you my take on that up next.
Like that five-star recruit in Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done time here on the triple option with RBKD. Always nice to get a week off. Always good to get refreshed. And you know, with this, we all love sports, so it's not one of those things where I can't even look at the stock market this week. I'm getting a week off and I'm not going to look at it. No, this is kind of what we do. It's what
pretty
we
much.
Like. So,
yeah.
So I was still watching sports, was still enjoying
I know
it.
You are.
Yeah. And I was really excited about Rod's Astros.
Go Astros!
Taking on the Dodgers.
Ooh, that was sexy. But
Not
good for the Stros.
Not good for the Stros. Yeah, you're right. Because they did end up losing both games. They lost 4-2 and 5-2. So Rod's right about that. He's looking at it as a fan. Now, as just a sports fan and baseball fan who does not have a dog in that fight, I was really looking forward, really, to the Astros all season long. You know, COVID has taken a lot from us. And obviously, in all seriousness, the number one thing would be lives, which
yes,
is incredibly sad.
Yeah.
And you just see some of these stories and you think, oh, my God, lives are changed forever. But as sports fans, it's obviously taken a lot of stuff away, took college baseball away. There are people that were maybe in their last year and the school's not going to be able to pay for them. And so they're not going to come back as a senior and they got that robbed, or maybe that was high school. We've talked about that. So there's definitely some sad sports stories, but I was really looking forward to the Astros and what this year is going to be like on the road, whenever they're going into hostile environments. And with the fans gone, well, they've taken that away. But I was curious to see if anyone was going to throw at him. I didn't know.
We didn't know.
Because it is baseball. And these guys, like Rod said earlier, the parent will tell them, don't do this. And sometimes they'll go ahead and do it. Joe Kelly was definitely throwing at the Astros. I don't know if you guys came to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay. I know there were some people that were saying, well, look, he had no control. Did you see the Instagram where he broke the window? Yeah, I saw that.
Yep, that was true.
That he was trying to learn actually a change up. And I was watching that whole game. And so when Joe came in, I saw right away, and it's Joe Kelly. So if you follow baseball, you know Joe Kelly can lose his control and lose it quickly. You also know Joe Kelly can be a little bit of a hothead and one of those guys who you want on your team. I was watching live whenever he drilled the Yankee in Fenway a couple years ago and got into that tussle.
He's one of those.
He's one of those. And Rod is
an instigator.
And if he's on your team, sometimes you need a guy like that.
Oh, we love those guys on our team.
Someone who won't be a wimp if you need to if you really do need to throw at someone. He said, oh, I'll throw at someone.
Yep.
Well, he goes after Bregman. I mean, 3-0, the two-seamer. I'm all for the Astros getting hit and getting a little bit back for what they did. Said from day one, do not go headhunting.
That's crazy.
You can't. You can kill someone.
Yeah.
And he could have killed him. I mean, 96 riding in like that, and maybe you don't kill him. I mean, is it worth Alex Bregman never playing baseball again and not having like Dickie Thon left eye vision? No, it's not. Look, 98 in the ribs is still
exactly.
good.
Yeah, the point will still be made.
Point will be made,
yeah.
And you probably won't be the last one.
Agreed.
And I think this will happen over the next couple of years, but you got to cut out the headhunting. So as much as I don't like Manfred, and yes, is it hypocritical that none of these guys got suspended? Yes, as we've talked about with Manfred, nothing ever aligns well, it seems like. But he had to get the point across that, look, you can't go headhunting here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if someone does hit the Astros the next couple games or next couple weeks and they hit them the right way, you're not going to see anything close to that. And also, you know, Joe Kelly with the curveball over Correa's head.
And then
that was the one thing he could really control.
Yeah.
Was his curveball that inning, right?
He probably went after him then.
You usually
too.
Don't throw breaking balls at someone, but.
But you could justify it at least.
You could justify it. You could justify it a little bit more. Yeah. So I think he was definitely throwing at Bregman. Correa, I don't know. But that was good drama, and I got a little bit of the drama that I wanted from all that. Mm-hmm. Whenever they come back from break and you've got Correa and Joe Kelly going back and forth. Our boy John Boy, who does all the breakdowns, did a pretty good job of kind of letting us know what they were saying back and forth. But that was fun, and it took me just for 5 minutes. I totally forgot about the pandemic and was just thinking, this is what sports is about. Because some of the drama is there. We don't, you and I are not, and BK's even there too. This is not going to be a TMZ drama-filled show with stuff like that. We've got off the record and fun stuff, but we're going to, for the most part, really talk sports. Well, sometimes the emotions letting go and these guys, that was sports.
That was sports.
That was sports. That was drama. That was everything. And we're just going to have to wait for next year for that. I'm resigned to that fact.
No, that was, that series was great drama, right? You had the Joe Kelly situation the first game. You had extra innings in the next game. You had great drama in that. And I remember I said the exact same thing. I totally agree with you. That day in regards to baseball was the only time since the baseball start where we had talked about the game in actually a storyline of the game, I should say, and not the pandemic
as right, it relates or how they're to dealing baseball, with
how
it.
They're dealing with it and how many tests they had. We literally just talked about the game, Dusty Baker's bad decision not to bunt, small ball, all these things that usually, you know, we have fun talking about with as it relates to Major League Baseball. So I agree with you. It's the first time. And I don't think we've talked about it since, actually, baseball in that sense. We've talked about the Cardinals and the Phillies and the outbreaks, but we hadn't gotten back to actually discussing the game and the storylines of the game.
I think it is one of the few times that have been able to stick with that. Obviously, we haven't had a ton of baseball. We'll see how much more we have. But your Astros are in a tough spot here, man. You're running out of arms, and maybe that's also why I kind of look at that moment and think, all right, that was the small little moment that I will remember thinking, like Rod just said, we were just talking baseball, even if it was drama, we were just thinking baseball, and you got two teams that could end up meeting up. But with Asuna sidelined now, and who knows what's going to happen with Verlander, you guys are a walking beat-up crew. Yeah. Then you've got some of these teams that aren't playing because of COVID issues. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just... I mean, it's going to count, but I just want to see if they can play. And I kind of realized over the week as I was watching this stuff, I don't really care. I know the Cubs are 7-2. I don't really care almost what the hell happens at the end of this year. I just want to see baseball. And I don't care how they get it done. I don't care who plays who. I don't care what they're playing for. I just want to see guys out there playing baseball. And it's one of the beautiful things about the NBA, the way they've set this up. I'm pretty confident that we're going to finish this thing.
I agree. The NBA is going to finish.
And I have no idea with Major League Baseball. None
of us do. And if you're the NBA, sorry, you're the NFL in college football, you got to be watching Major League Baseball's experiment. You got to be watching the NBA's experiment.
Yeah.
And it might be time for you to start thinking about how are you going to approach the outbreaks. Because if you're going to do what Major League Baseball is doing, what their history is telling you, their brief history approaching, you know, the COVID-19 virus stage, there's going to be a lot of outbreaks on teams then.
Yeah.
Because you have more players on your teams than they have on their rosters.
Yes. Well, and that's something to think about.
And you don't travel as much as they do, so that maybe that's different. Maybe that's how you mitigate it. I don't know. But, man, without the bubble, you're exposed. And guys are going to get it.
Yeah.
And they're going to spread it.
And period. And we knew that was going to happen, and I was hoping with baseball it wouldn't happen to the degree it has. But we'll see how they finish that off. But, yeah, I'm at the point now with baseball where I just want to see – just get out there and play. Like, field the dreams. I don't care if you have a hat on, jerseys.
Reserve guys, whatever.
I didn't realize how much I missed 96-mile-per-hour two-seamers or Aaron Judge going 468 like he did yesterday, man. Yeah. That guy is crushing the baseball right now.
Six home runs already or something like that?
I think it's six. I mean, he's been on a tear the last week.
The Dodgers and the Yankees are going to play in the World Series. I'm an Astros fan, and now I'm starting to believe that the Astros are scoring enough runs. They got George Springer's off to a slow start. They got a couple of hitters off to a slow start. They still got a hell of a lineup.
They do.
But they don't have the arms.
No, they don't.
The arms are too young. They actually do have some talent.
Saturday night was a tough one to lose to the Angels.
Yeah.
You feel like you had that. You had the big offense late, and then you just couldn't hold on.
Yeah. They're playing so many young pitchers. I mean, they've debuted probably more rookie pitchers than they've ever have in their history of their franchise just in this short time. They've debuted so many rookies.
And some good arms.
No, guys like,
I mean,
some
guys I'm impressed with for the future.
Yeah, it's just they don't have enough. They don't got enough horses.
No, at least you have an offense. The Rangers scored 8 or 9 yesterday, and they'd come into the game averaging 2 point something, the lowest in MLB. Offense was going to be a problem for them, and it has been.
Yeah, at least you, if you're an Astros fan, at least you get the runs, man. They can stay in games.
And they're fun. They're fun to watch.
Because they can score.
What do you think? Did you see Asuna with the dreads? Did you see that?
I saw, I think, a snapshot image of it. Yeah. Not a fan?
I just didn't know.
Yeah. Does it affect his performance?
I don't know. Maybe it affected the elbow. And maybe some of that, too, is Asuna, at least what I think of him heading into this. With what happened in Toronto with
domestic
abuse.
And he just came back too. I mean, they held him out for a while because they wanted him to get back completely healthy or as healthy as possible, and now he's hurt again. It's not looking good.
All right, so I just want to make sure that the fervor is still there year whenever the Astros are going around. I mean, do you think that's still going to be there? I don't know if it will be with the players as much, but it will be with the fans.
Somebody might try to ding him again though. I think somebody will try. I don't think that will be as obvious as Joe Kelly and instigate and talk trash and all that. But I do think somebody will just give him a ding and go about their business. You know, oh, sorry, got out of control. My bad.
Right.
That's it. I'm going to keep it moving. You know, I think Joe Kelly made a spectacle of it. He wanted people to know I went after it. He wanted to be legendary. He wanted to be infamous.
Yeah.
And he is.
He is.
He is. But, you know, that I don't think everybody's going to have that type of, you know, venom toward the Astros.
To do it 3-0, too.
3-0, right at the end.
So he knew. He was like, look, I'm just going to waste this one.
I'm going at the head?
No, you don't go to the head. You just don't. You don't, period.
Yeah, man. Body shot. Body blows.
No, and I heard, I think it was Sutcliffe talking about it. I was like, look, if you're going to really let it go, and even if you're not real comfortable with your command at that point, that means he was always taught, aim at the thigh or the ass, and if you miss, if you're a major league pitcher, you're going to miss in the back.
It's going to hit your chest or the back.
Maybe
still
break
be low.
A rib, right? Yeah. But you don't aim for the chest, and if you miss high, and kill someone.
Right, I agree. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm not going to do a bunch of that was the main thing when I was going through stuff. I thought I want to get Rod's take on it a little bit. I didn't listen to y'all so that day. So
I agree.
I
think that's exactly how we interpreted it too. Like he went after him, and I do think it was heavy-handed. But if you're Rob Manfred, he had to make a statement when Joe Kelly, like I said, openly instigated the affair.
The yawn. Right? Did you see the yawn after when he got the ball back after he walked? Alex Bregman got the ball back and kind of gave a yawn. It's almost like everything, all the video was there was set up for him to get hammered for that. I still think he got too much, but he was going to get hammered.
He was going to get hammered, man. Like I said, he just went too far with it. That's all. He went too far with the trash talk.
There's your one and done.
All right. That's one and done. We'll have my rant of the day coming up at 5:30. Okay, let's get into a little off the record. This story hit today, and I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised by the story. Haven't read the details of it, but The Rock is now, he's big time. Mm-hmm. He's trying to become a bit of a business connoisseur. He's been in acting, WWE, he's got a production company, and now The Rock has made another move to become an American icon. We'll get into that on the other side and off the record. All that and more right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
DD Mega Doodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the right man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man KD is at KevinDunn01. Time for a little off the record. This off the record is about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. How about this? We all know the XFL went under. Was that earlier this year officially, or was it last year?
April, they filed Chapter 11.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when we were kind of talking about it. You know, I was hoping someone would come in, look at this as a value, and look at this as something that was COVID-related and that they can maybe get a steal on.
Well, that someone is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and him and a group. All right, a financial group. The XFL has been sold to that group, including Dwayne The Rock Johnson being a part of it, giving the bankrupt football league the kind of star power that may draw even non-sports fans. Johnson, an actor and producer who played college football at Miami, teamed up with Jerry Cardinal's Red Bird Capital to buy the league just hours before the planned auction was scheduled to begin, because they were going to auction off like all the assets that have something to do with the XFL. So they bought the whole damn thing for $15 million. They
split it
evenly.
He didn't let it get to the auction.
No, they got it before it got to the auction. Yeah. So they split it evenly. Johnson's business partner, Danny Garcia, who also his ex-wife, will be an equal stakeholder with him. So how about that? So according to a court filing, this was the only qualified bid. The transaction is subject to bankruptcy court approval, blah, blah, blah. But Redbird has made a litany of sports-related investments, including some with ties to the NFL and its players. The presence of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, meantime, continues his pro wrestling involvement in the Spring Football League, which was founded and funded by, of course, Vince McMahon. So
we put like $200 million into it.
He did. So he got it on the cheap, man. I mean, I don't know exactly what that entails and what it includes.
And what McMahon maybe got back. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what what you get when you just get the XFL, the brand, the name. Like, I don't know if you get any actual assets. Like, I don't know how that works. Like, what's included with? Do they own anything with the XFL? They own buildings. They own property somewhere. They own
football equipment for a reason.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Like, I actually have no idea.
I don't either. But it does make sense, because if you remember, now he would have been there at a just loaded time for Miami and kind of the end of that run. He was there from 90 to 94. But he was a good player, Rod, but he was not Kevin Patrick Rusty Madaris.
Was he a starter? I don't think he was a starter. Yeah, I don't think
now,
he was even a starter.
So I'll give him some love and say you were not a starter on one of the sickest defensive lines.
If
you were at North Carolina State, you were probably starting, but you were at Miami. But I guess my point is that he's probably one of those guys, when he thinks about his football career, he would have liked to have an XFL around.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever watched this show Ballers on HBO?
Yeah.
And it's The Rock. He didn't wrestle, but he's a former player playing the NFL in the show. And he's just like this. He wants to get into like sports marketing, sports branding, gets with a financial group. And I believe they try to buy the Vegas football team at the time. I haven't watched it in a while, so I'm not sure what's going on.
It's pretty close to real life, isn't it?
But it is. It's very similar to like the Ballers screenplay, if you will, at least the Ballers plot. So I think he's one of those guys where he was one of the highest grossing stars in Hollywood for, I want to say, at least 3 years ago, maybe 3 years, two, three years ago. And I don't know what it is now. I haven't looked at it currently. So he's a highly motivated and intelligent individual.
Very much so.
And I think we all agree the XFL had a chance. They had a window. Who knew the 100-year pandemic would come into the equation and completely derail it? I think he sees the sports gambling future of the XFL. That it was going toward being a gambling friendly league, and even if you are not necessarily affiliated with the NFL or even the second most popular pro football league in America, there is money to be made in the sports gambling world as soon as it is legalized in all 50 states. It's on the way. I think it's in maybe 18 states, 22 mm-hmm. states, something like that. It's on the way. And when that's the case, a lot of people are still betting on the XFL. Hell, ask BK. BK was probably betting on it. People probably bet on it right now. Yeah, and they were trying to get betting to be streamlined, where you could bet on plays and bet on like individual plays in real time.
Yeah.
That was the technology they were working on, but they never got a chance to implement it. I wonder if he bought the XFL, if there's still an affiliation with that technology, that gambling technology.
That is going to be the answer whenever we have to tell, you know, we're talking to people 40 years from now, and they're like, wait a minute, so why did, if football was that popular, why did all those, why did the USFL, why did all those Arena League, why did all that stuff not work?
Yeah.
You'd say, well, the answer ended up being gambling with the combination of making sure that you get the college sports. Because the reality is these leagues are never going to be as good, right? They're not going to be as good as the NFL.
No.
So if you know any football at all, you don't need to know a lot. You're going to watch and say, hey, this isn't as high a level. And a lot of that's with the quarterbacks and accuracy. We've talked about that. So that's never going to be – that's always been a hurdle for them. And that's always been a problem. So the answer was try and really connect to college football, because there's no college sport that is as loved as college football that can actually move on. That passion can move to the pro level.
Yeah.
But gambling's the real answer.
Gambling's the real answer.
That's going to be it.
Man, I think the number that Adam Silver threw out there was that he thinks it's a $400 billion business or something crazy like that. Like he threw a number out there, and everybody looked at him and said, are you serious about that number? But people have no idea how much money is out there in sports gambling.
He said, look, once we get all that done, I'm going to be free Hong Konging you guys left and right. Okay?
Yeah. Like, no, he's looking for different revenue sources. That's why he's one of the first leagues.
It's also why they've shut up completely about China.
About China. But he's one of those first commissioners that said, man, we need to find different ways to make money, because the traditional way of marketing and advertising doesn't apply in a new entertainment ecosystem with streaming and cord cutters and everything else. And he was right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it. I think The Rock sees something. We don't know what he sees, but I think it's sports gambling. I think he knows that this league, the XFL was not thriving nationally, because as KD mentioned, it'll never contend nationally with the big leagues, the old money in sports in America.
But it can survive.
It can survive.
And even thrive a little.
And sports gambling can keep it afloat, but also regionally, it was beating the NBA.
Yeah, it was.
In regional and like rankings like this. So I think regionally, that's how it can survive, along with the gambling stuff too.
And so that,
they're picking the right
markets. That's the little additional college part, which they tried to
like
do here.
Yeah,
they would bring in good players like you and Kwame and Aaron Humphrey, and you know what? That got people out there.
That's exactly right.
And when y'all made a play and they mentioned your name in the Irwin Center, it got a little louder.
Go to those markets that you know are football fans, they just aren't NFL fans necessarily.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we come back. We'll get back into whether the Big 12 is going. I assume the Big 12 is not going to make any announcement. We're at the close of business here.
We'll talk
about with the Big 12 what they might be announcing tomorrow as it relates to the 2020 schedule. We'll also get into the Pac-12 potential boycott for some of the Pac-12 student athletes. Also, Gary Patterson and the N-word. We'll get into that discussion too. If you haven't heard it, we'll get you caught up on it. All of that and more on the other side. This is the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.